closer.
All you nuts and nutcases, this is Julian DeCorin from the upcoming podcast Chemically Inspired, and you are listening to Nutty Bites.
What I'm watching.
There's a lot of things that I've been watching, a lot of new things, which is great considering, I know, hiatus and everybody's missing their regular television shows and all of that. But I don't know what the impetus was, but I just finally sucked it up and said, you know what? I've been meaning to watch Veronica Mars for a really long time. And I've seen an episode here and there, and I, you know what, let me go and see this. So I went and I started watching them, and I watched from the beginning all the way through. By the way, the WB.com has all of Veronica Mars available for streaming. Now, yes, you have to be in the United States.
Name lasts forever.
And was able to watch it, but I find it hysterical that the WB.com still exists because it's no longer a channel, but that they have all of Veronica Mars. That is fantastic. So I went and I was able to watch it, and I really actually enjoyed it. I did notice like a lot of little things that make me laugh. Like, how many times do people say her name, Veronica Mars? It's almost like a Jane Austen book. Everybody's always referring to her as Veronica Mars, not Veronica. You know, just it's funny. There's a lot of things that are a little overboard, but that's okay because it's fiction and it's fun. There's a lot of really interesting storylines and a lot of interesting characters there. I really like Kristen Bell. I like her a lot. There's something about her that makes you want to watch her. The guy that plays her father, Enrico, whatever his name is, he's Canadian, by the way. I really like him. I always have. He was in Just Shoot Me. He was in Galaxy Quest. He was in a dozen other things that you didn't realize he was in. And I really enjoy him too. He's very charismatic. And again, he makes you want to watch him. So I enjoyed that. I had a lot of fun watching it. And then I got to the last episode and I was really confused because it seems like they didn't know that they were going off the air. I'm going to have to check with the Mars Effects podcast and all of that and find out, you know, did they actually know they were going off the air? Because it kind of feels like they stopped in the middle. And I would love to know what happened to these characters. But at the same time, like, had they known, they could have just wrapped it up. Each season seemed to wrap things up in a way that if it didn't continue the next year, it would have been fine. But then the last season just didn't really seem that way. The Muppet Movie came out. Oh my gosh, it's been so long since there's been a Muppet movie. But more importantly, this is a movie that is not, it's not Muppets in Space. It's not Treasure Island with Muppets. It's not the Christmas Carol with Muppet. The later Muppet movies were not their best, I admit. I love them. I own Muppets in Space. I will watch it when I just want to have fun, but it's not, it doesn't really have what makes a Muppet movie. And, you know, it's because it's being done by other people. The Muppet Movie was written by Jason Segel, which you may know from Freaks and Geeks or from How I Met Your Mother or Forgetting Sarah Marshall or any of the other things he's done. I think he is extremely talented and I think he did a fantastic job with the Muppet Movie. Sure, I could nitpick one or two things here. I can always nitpick things. If I really like something, I can find something to complain about. But I'm not going to go into that. I'm just going to tell you how awesome it was. It had the puns, it had the music, it had the cast. Cameos. It was really great, and it was really interesting. I think it was the first movie without Frank Oz as a voice, which is huge. I love Frank, and who doesn't? I mean, it's Frank Oz, but I think it kind of marks that this is a new era of Muppets. This is, they're handing the reins over, and it's time to see what can be done with it. And I think that they did a really good job. I've been watching my DVDs of The Muppet Show every lunch with my husband lately, and just absolutely love it, by the way. If you want Muppet action, you go for The Muppet Show. It is the creme de la creme of Muppets. It is awesome. Anyway, we're talking about, do you think that that kind of a format can run today? And he doesn't think so because he thinks that there's such a big disconnection with the vaudeville way of doing things that people wouldn't quite get it. It wouldn't work. But I think it could. I think it could really be done well, but we'd have to have somebody like Jason Segel behind it. We'd have to have somebody that really understands the Muppets and isn't trying to turn it into something modern, that isn't trying to make it fit what we've learned to expect. I want to see celebrities actually performing, not lip syncing. I want to see people cracking up at the jokes because they can't do a take without laughing at one of the Muppets. I want to see the bad puns. I want to have the musical numbers that are Broadway and old sing-alongs and things like that. I want cheesy, I want camp, and I want clever. And I don't know, it's not too much to ask for. Todd and the Book of Pure Evil. I think this is a Canadian-only show. Don't think it shows in the US, but it's awesome and funny and just, oh, I really like it. It goes into that guilty pleasure of mine, the teenage angst. Well, no, not angst, but the teenage stories, you know. The it fits along with RJ Berger and I forget the one that I reviewed that aired over the summer and all those teen movies and so forth. It's about a group of kids and they're trying to fight evil. It's really, I can't quite describe it, but basically there's this book and anyone who gets it can create magic that's supposed to help them, but in the end tries to kill everyone. And then there's a bunch of teens that are trying to stop the book so they thwart the plans and so forth. And there's this whole secret Satanist society that they're fighting against, and it's really interesting and just really stupid and funny. Oh, and Jason Mewes plays the school's custodian. And he has a little bit of a Silent Bob-ish role in the sense that he dispenses wisdom amongst his random talk. I really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's on Space. If you go to the website for Space TV, you can find it. If you go to the website for Space TV, you can find, oh my gosh, all of the Doctor Who from since they came out 2005. You can find pretty much most of the shows that Space TV shows, and you can stream it. It's great. And the viewer's not bad. I've been able to use the viewer on really bad connections too. So I highly recommend that. Thank you, Space. Very good. And for my Canadian listeners, most of the Canadian broadcast channels do have streaming and their players aren't so bad. Some of them are better than others, but it's actually really great to see how much you can watch. I think I saw that you can watch The Tudors from like season one on one of the channels. I tried to watch it and I got really, really bored, so I'm not really going to talk about that. That was a while ago too. I saw the movie Tomboy. You can read the review on my blog. It's a French film. It was interesting, very slow going. It's one of these films that I'm sure will only be coming out in art houses. I think it's an important film and interesting to watch. I don't want to go into it too deep here because I do have spoilers in my review on my blog. I do post when I start to spoil, so don't read past there if you don't want to be spoiled. So go take a look at that. AbFab is back. Yes, absolutely fabulous. A British comedy from way back that I absolutely adore and I'm quoting all the time and is just wow. It's got half of the duo of French and Saunders. Jennifer Saunders is the main character. And oh, what's Patsy's name? I know this. Jennifer Lumley, yes. And I cannot remember the name for the daughter, Safi, but they are hysterical. A bunch of self-absorbed women, and they are just, you know, they're going about, and the whole point is that they are living an absolutely fabulous life, despite the fact that they don't really know what's going on and what's important. And, you know, one of my favorites is there's an episode where they go on vacation in the French countryside, and they think that they're renting a castle or whatever, and a big house, and they end up in this, you know, this little cottage, and they can't speak French, but they keep pretending that they do, and have no idea what's going on. And finally, their daughter comes down, and she's like, yeah, you've been living in the servants' quarters. The castle is over there. And anytime somebody tried to help you, you gave them money and sent them away. And it's just, it's over the top. It's hysterical. and it cracks me up. And I was a little afraid about it coming back, but it came back and it came back. It's topical and it still has what makes Absolutely Fabulous wonderful. And I'm so happy to see it. I do hear that they're making a movie, and so I will probably be seeing that. I saw the first two episodes. There's going to be one more, I think, that's coming out around the movie release or Christmas or something. I don't know. It's not coming soon enough. That's what's going on. Sherlock is back. The BBC series Sherlock. Yes, there are three episodes out as of this recording. I have only seen the one. And oh my gosh, did I ever squee? It was so well done. I don't want to spoil anything, but certain characters from the books are in the show. And wow, is it ever done right? There is one scene with Sherlock wearing a deerstalker cap, and it's not hokey, and it's done well, and it's done with style and class, and I squee, and oh my god, I love it. And it's just too amazingly awesome. So yay, go watch Sherlock. It's wonderful. Speaking of Sherlock, I did see the movie Game of Shadows. That's what it's called. Guy Ritchie movie. The first half hour seems like they're finishing up the last movie, but it has nothing to do with the last movie. It really isn't done very well. I think that they include some characters from the last movie, and they didn't need to. They really didn't need to have that part of the plot in there. And I think they just did it because contractually they had some of the actors. I'm sure they could have worked around it. It wasn't bad. There were some really good things about it. There were some really bad things about it. I don't see Sherlock in these movies. I see Tony Stark. I see Robert Downey Jr. playing himself. Jude Law does a great job at Watson. I think his Watson's really well done. And Stephen Fry as Mycroft was wonderful. And there's a big argument. I'm going to spoil this one little bit. It has nothing to do with the plot or anything like that, but it's been all over the place. And if you haven't heard, Stephen Fry is naked in this film. Big to-do about it. I was all excited. Guess what? There's not nearly enough naked Stephen Fry, okay? Honestly, everyone's making a big hubbub over nothing. You don't see enough of it. And I didn't even get a full butt shot of Stephen Fry. And why do I want to see Stephen Fry naked? Because I thought I could. That's why. So people are making a big deal over it. There's really nothing to see there. But I do like Stephen Fry as Mycroft. And, you know, it was fun. And there are a couple of visual scenes that are just amazing when you see certain machines working and the slow motion and the stop and the go and the stop and the go, and it's very pretty. But it just makes you think, wow, does the BBC ever do it right? Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes films, but they have their place, and I'm very happy that they have their place, because you know what? Guy Ritchie, his Sherlock films have brought a lot of people into watching Sherlock, and some are even reading it. I can tell you, I know of at least 5 or 6 different people who have told me that they never read Sherlock. They saw the film and then they started reading it to see how it compares to the actual books, and they've just fell head over heels into the books. So I'm thankful for that. But yeah, Stephen Moffat's Sherlock series is far superior.
Quartath Resort and Spa is located on the southern tip of the islands of Slux, on the northeast slopes of Fissure Peninsula. The resort's luxurious villas are built into a gently terraced hillside alongside the screaming forest. With majestic views of Boiling Lake, the location also offers spectacular vistas of Quartath's sacred Mount Wolframheart. Quartath Resort and Spa is a Pylean-style spa. Dramatic hilltop and lakeside dining and spirited Quartathian locals abound to assist and cater to your every need. All immersed in the mystique of this mystical land. Quartath Resort and Spa. You just won't be able to leave.
Art happenings?
Watercolors! Yes, I am going back into watercolors and having so much fun with them. You may have seen my Rory as Father Christmas. Tech and Rory as Calvin and Hogg, and the new Kaelin painting, which is a painting of a purple elf that I did. My next project I have in mind is going to involve something pink, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to share it because I want to submit it to something, and I'm being cryptic enough that those that know of the project might know what it is, but I don't want to say anything in case I get rejected. Anyway, so yeah, watercolors. I've been having a lot of fun with these. Everyone says that watercolors is so flowy and uncontrolled, and I defy you. Take a look at my paintings. Those are very controlled. I am really, really enjoying it. I'm so happy to have watercolors. And you know what's great about it is it's faster than working with oils. Oh my gosh. Because oils, if I'm going to start painting with oils, I need to have like a good 4-hour block at least. With the watercolors, I can just sit for an hour or so, maybe two, whatever I want to work on. But it's not so much of, okay, I need 4 hours for the painting. I also need time to prep my oils. I need time to clean up the oils, to condition my brushes, and to make sure everything's okay. Yeah, don't have to do all the extra work. And the other thing about the watercolors is they're so bright and vibrant. And I'm really, with the shorter days and not seeing much sunlight, I really need bright colors in my life right about now. So yay, watercolors. I'm having a blast.
Tired of your everyday commute? Wish you knew what movies to watch? We offer you Flash Pulp! 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings with goodies every Sunday with 3-Day Fish, who is always listening.
Feedback. So I have some feedback that I was supposed to include in the last episode, but I completely forgot, and I apologize to Richard for this. I'm a little scatterbrained. I apologize, but it's really, really neat that you sent this. So Richard from Illinois. Hey, Nukchas. Just wanted to say how much I enjoy the Nutty Debate episode about guilty pleasures. My wife and I discussed the guilty pleasure topic, and I think there are two types. Things that you are embarrassed to tell your geek friends, and things you are embarrassed to tell your non-geek friends. For us, one of our guilty pleasures is the VH1 show Tough Love. I don't know that show, so I'm guessing it's a reality show? Something we are embarrassed to tell our geek friends, but regular people, I'm sure, see no problem with. Yeah, I would say that the normals, the mundanes, they seem to have no problem with you saying that you like a reality show. They seem to kind of want to cling to that, I agree. As for Buck Rogers, it's not a guilty pleasure if you are our age. Me, 43, my wife, 42. It was on network TV and was a show of its time. Now, if you are a teenager today and like it, that might be a guilty pleasure. Thanks for the great podcast, Richard from Illinois. Thank you, Richard. You know, there are a few things that, like I said, normal people would be fine accepting, but I do feel a little hesitant in having to explain it when I tell my geek friends, you know, like, look, I'm really not into reality shows, but I do like Parking Wars. You know, if I said that to a normal person, if I said I liked Parking Wars, they'd say, oh yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Or then they'd try to get me to watch the Jersey Shore or something really scary. Not my cup of tea. Anyway, but yes, I will agree with you on that. Normally, I'm so used to being seen as the geek from the normals and the mundanes and so forth in my life that I really am not so embarrassed to tell them about anything, because no matter what I tell them, they're going to think, oh, that's some sort of geeky thing. I would say that it is the geek friends. But again, I have no shame. I really don't. I've been known to watch things and somebody give me a questioning glance and I'll just say, don't judge me. I like it. And again, my guilty pleasure is all those teen dramas and things. I will admit, when Dawson's Creek came out, I watched it. I watched the first, 4 seasons or whatever. I watched a lot of Dawson's Creek, and I have no shame. I feel like I should, but I don't. So there you have it. Roswell, Buffy, Dawson's Creek, they all take place in high school. for me, I would never want to return to high school, but there's something about those shows that are just fun. Thank you for the feedback, and I greatly appreciate it. I don't have any iTunes feedback, no new reviews or anything like that on the Canadian or the US store. If you've left me iTunes reviews, please let me know, because they don't actually tell me when I get them. And if you left it on some other country store, that would be good to know for me. I've got, you know, just a few reviews, and if anybody wanted to leave some, that would be nice, because that helps people find me. But I'm not begging for anything, so do what you want, because I am really bad at leaving iTunes reviews. I tend to do it like every 6 months. I'll go through everything that I listen to and I'll make sure that I've left a review. So yeah. Google Plus feedback for Nutty Bites 11, Mike Crate. Those were very old big cats. And how do you go about replacing something like that? Oh, Mike is talking about the cats at the zoo that passed on, I believe. You don't really replace anyone, you know? It's difficult to replace any of those guys. But basically, the different zoos seem to have a network. And when new cubs are born, you can put in to see if you can get them over at your zoo. The zoo that I went to often would be asked to take, for instance, the cougar that I'm absolutely in love with. His name is Jasper. He was born at another animal park and his mother rejected him. And so he went to that zoo. So a lot of rejected animals end up there and so forth. So it's interesting how they do it, but they all kind of seem to know each other. And the zoo that I would go to was involved in a breeding program. One of her jaguars would leave and to another zoo to help start breeding, and she ended up getting some of the cubs from that. And unfortunately, he ended up dying at another zoo, which was not cool. But because the zoo owner is involved in different breeding programs, she has a very good way of getting new animals. So I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to see the new lions, which I'll be squeeing over when that actually happens. And in response to the Nutty Debate Guilty Pleasures, Mike again says, finally, your set schedule synced with Alan's bizarre party all night lifestyle. That would be FaZe. Yes, we had fun with FaZe. Mike and FaZe are both co-hosts on their podcast, and if you listen to the Guilty Pleasures, you'll hear all about it, because we do some shout-outs there. And Bob DeGrand says, my wife shared the same trait as your sister for picking up the accent of wherever she was instantly. There was a time when we were visiting relatives in Scotland, and took a side trip to Wales. It was for a very good geek reason. To see the village, Portmeirion, sorry, I'm going to butcher that, I apologize, where The Prisoner was filmed. It was great. The hotel had a TV channel labeled Local TV, which was 24/7 Prisoner reruns. Oh, that's awesome. We were in Wales for 3 days, and by the end, she would criticize me for mispronouncing Welsh words I would see on signs. Oh, Bob, that's awesome. It's very difficult sometimes because you start to pick it up and you may not have the right accent, or it may be bad, but you can't help it, you know? And I pick up pronunciations as well. When I was in high school, I worked for an Italian bakery and they were from Northern Italy. And basically I don't say mozzarella. I say mozzarella because that's how they said it. And it sticks with me. And people give me a hard time because they think I'm being like, I don't know, snooty or whatever. But it's when you're in an environment that you end up learning pronunciations, it kind of sticks with you. And that one definitely, for instance, because they were very adamant in me pronouncing things the right way. So thank you for the feedback, everyone. And I do hope to share more of this. I'm planning on checking the Google Plus page to be able to share feedback. And I think I'm going to go ahead and make a Facebook. I'm not sure if I'm going to make a page or a group, probably a group because there's more interaction, but you'll be able to leave some feedback there too. So if you are on Google Plus, go look for Nimlas Studios and give us a like, add us to your circles. Feedback on the blog for Nutty Bites 11. And another comment from Bob DeGrand. Thank you, Bob. I had the same sort of reaction to Dexter. I've been considering doing a Dexter intro cast, and one of my reservations was that when they started the Deb Dexter storyline. Remember I ranted about how, yeah, they were trying to make some sort of a romantic, yeah, no, ick. Anyway, that might wind up halting the last two seasons. Oh, that I might wind up hating the last two seasons. The ending of the finale sucked me right back in, though. And I think that the fan reaction has been so overwhelmingly negative that they may rethink things between seasons. I hope so, too. I responded to him, and instead of reading everything out to you, I will just summarize and say, I really hope that they drop the storyline. I could see how it was the shrink was a plant from LaGuardia trying to screw things up. I don't know. Doomsday Killer storyline was really good. And I thought they did very well with that. There is a lot of things that they really got me on there. And my favorite line of the season, though, has to be, I'm going to be doing Dexter and Deborah. Dexter, I'm here if you need a chair. What? What you said before, I'm a chair? Yeah, but I don't want a chair. I want a table. And if you haven't seen Dexter, that makes no sense to you. But if you've seen Dexter, you understand. It's hysterical. And Aurora Lee says, finally caught up to this point in my podcast. Still trying to catch up from November. Lol. Aurora Lee is a fellow NaNoWriMoer, so I totally understand. And if I remember correctly, I think she listens mostly from her computer. She'll listen to it streaming from a website. So that's pretty awesome. You know, I can understand how hard it must be to catch up. I had a blast with you at HowlCon and the writerly stuff and the zoo. Aurora Lee is the one that came with me to HowlCon and the zoo and everything, and is part of my Nova Scotia NaNoWriMo group. Hopefully we'll get to do it again this year. I have the same thoughts about Nano as you, though I know I'll do it just because that's me. I've been writing more and more since Nano than I did last year, even though I haven't finished anything. She's got two challenges that are helping her out, and one of them is KaraMichaels.com, and the other one is, notenoughwords.wordpress.com, and I will try to put those links in the show notes. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for the feedback, and please send it in, and I will try to remember and make sure that I put it in the next episode. Thank you. Also, don't forget, you can call the voicemail, which is 347-NUTTY-42. So yeah, leave me a voicemail, call in, we'll be able to chat, whatever. And thank you.
The unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Journey into
the Journey Into podcast features replays of old radio shows like X-1, Escape, Suspense, Lights Out, and many more. Also, about once a month, I sure am trying, it will also feature full cast readings of new and classic stories, as well as new flash fiction. Think of it as a variety pack of audio fiction. It's a happy meal for your ears, or if you don't like happy meals, it's like the toy chest you used to dive into when you went to the dentist as a kid. Come check it out at journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com. So come with me and let's journey into space, or into adventure, or into fear, or into mystery, or into the unknown, or into the war.
Well, that about does it for us, and this may be a long episode, and I do apologize, but things might be done a little bit differently in the coming year, so stay tuned for some changes and let me know how things are, if you like them, if you don't like them, whatever. I'm trying to figure out a way to give you more content faster, but in shorter episodes. So let me know how that's going. Also, please remember, you can always send in bumpers and promos to me. If you want to send me a promo for your show, send it in. I will warn you that shorter promos get played more often simply because it's easier to fit in when I'm running long. I love short promos. Bumpers, I absolutely love them. If you want to create gag ads, fake ads, as hopefully you have heard in this episode, I'm planning to put those in there. Those were my Secret Santa wish list sort of a thing from the Between the Lines studio crew, and I absolutely adore them. So fake ads, I love, send them in. Bumpers, absolutely love them. Send them in. You want to give me titles for, you know, feedback, art happenings, what I'm watching, I heard it on Twitter, all of those sorts of things. Send those in and I absolutely love them. If you would like me to record something for you, please let me know. I will do it. I am more than happy to help out. If you've got music you want to send me, send it in. I will do it. I will play it. And that's about it. I normally like to highlight on the positive and talk about what's awesome, but I have a mini rant that I must share. As I've been catching up with my podcasts, I have heard at least three in the last month. Actually, it's been the last like week and a half that I've heard three people eating during their podcast, opening up a bag of chips, chewing on your chips, whatever it is that you're doing. Do not eat while you're recording. Please don't do that. You're making me crazy. I'm yelling at my radio as I'm driving in my car and I look like an idiot to everybody else. Why would you do that? I'm all good with off the cuff kind of a podcast, especially if it's a discussion podcast. I got no problem with that. But if you're producing a podcast, please, please don't put plastic in my ear and please don't start munching in my ear. Yes, I know there's munching in my promo, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so do that. Just think about what your listeners are listening to. And you know what else? Listen to your podcast. I know a lot of people, they record their podcast and they just put it out because they don't like listening to their own voice. Listen to your own podcast. Listen to what you're saying. Listen to your speech patterns. You may notice that you say a lot, and you may notice that you leave lots of dead air, and you may notice that you're chewing in the microphone. Yeah, don't do that. I don't mind a sip of coffee or soda or water or whatever during your podcast. I mean, that's just natural. Here, ready? I'm going to do it for you right now. Ready? There you go. That's fine. But the moment you start crinkling plastic bags into the microphone, that I actually have more of a problem with than the chips. And I understand we all have a hard time getting our recording done. And I don't want to be like, oh my gosh, I'm an evil, crazy woman, you know, criticizing somebody for giving me free content. But yeah, it's kind of frustrating. The other reason why I tell podcasters to listen to their own podcast, you want to hear how your levels are. There are a couple podcasts I've been listening to. They have different segments. And one segment will be much louder and another segment will be much softer. So I'm constantly having to adjust the dial on my radio. And that can be frustrating. And it's really not helpful if you're listening to it on earbuds because all of a sudden you're blasted. And then later on, it sounds like the show's off. And yeah, so that's just my mini rant. And so, yeah, just please don't eat potato chips in your podcast. I would appreciate it. Or if you like giving me a heart attack, that's fine. You know, could do that. Have an awesome month.
Hi, I'm Big Anklevich.
And I'm Rish Outfield.
And that's R080T.
We're your hosts for the Doonstief audio fiction magazine.
On the Doonstief, we read science fiction, fantasy, and horror stories.
What did he say?
He says that you're a loser. If you've never listened to the Doonstief, you don't know what you're missing.
Stupid, worthless robot. Why don't we play them a sample?
Yeah, 080T, can you play that story sample? Javi slid the crystal into place. His accomplice fiddled with some knobs, and the spaceship came alive with a quiet whir. Outside, the guards were scrambling, confused at the ring of rolling blue fire that built under the machine. The wooden mounts vaporized and the ground blackened. The accomplice spoke.
Is it a go?
Yes,
Javi said. He turned on the space barrier and pulled the throttle. They shot upwards, crashing through the ceiling, leaving the guards on the ground pointing and shaking their heads. Thanks, Oedo T.
After the story, there's witty banter and discussion from the hosts. What did he say this time?
He says you're a loser. The best part about the discussion is that it's at the end, so it's easy just to skip it.
Right, so come check out the Doonstief audio fiction magazine.
Find us at www.doonstief.com.
That's D-U-N-E-S-T-E-E-F. What did he say? That I'm a loser?
No, he said that if you check out the Doonstief, you'll be glad that you did.
Huh.
And he said that you're a loser.
Friggin' robot!
Netty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nettybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.
I think that the ghost of shadows or shadows of go no something of shadows. There's shadows in their song. Okay, delete that out because I'm getting sniffly. Oi! Oh, I really hope I delete that out because that would be embarrassing. Go to my favorites. Not Rory's favorites. My favorites. Yes, put that in the show notes. What I'm listening to. Okay. No, that's not what I'm doing. I heard it on Twitter.